right from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 2 big hours to spend together. Plenty of time to do Monday Night Trivia. We've got 7 bumper stumpers. I've just picked them out. It's a wonderful theme. I could have picked out 30. But I'm actually, as we speak, still refining which 7 I'll play that are part of the theme. Now, we have a straggler question, and this will be it. I'll review it. I'll reveal it at the end of the night if you don't get it. For at least 20 years of the last decade, Japanese prime ministers refused to do this. Do what? All right, so at least 20 years. Now, if you don't like my question, you haven't even heard my bumper stumpers yet, then pick your own category and sky is the limit because everybody knows something about something. And we'll kick it off tonight with Andy in Los Angeles. It says L.A. almost said he was in Louisiana. Yeah, that'd be a hell of a move. All right, so cheaper though. Andy, welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you with me? Oh, wait a minute. You are with me, but I've moved you. There. Now we're together. All right.
Now I'm comfortable.
Good. Yeah, me too. Good. Well, excellent. So we are going to do New York City radio. And we're going
right. 1960s.
Yeah, the 1960s. Okay. Absolutely. All right. So okay. After doing 7 weeks of nights on WWRL, Dan Ingram convinced Rick Sklar to hire him. Who was he?
Chuck Leonard?
Yes, absolutely right. And he was there until 1980 when he went to WXLO for a year and then stayed at WRKS for a number of years. Absolutely right.
I'm on a winning streak.
You are. You absolutely are. Well, I'm trying to throw you easy questions, and the prizes are worthless.
Oh, all right. Next week, you'll call me something harder.
Okay.
No, don't.
All right. I'll try to think of some.
I have a request.
You do, yeah. You? All right. Well, let me get to
it. I have a request. No, you're probably not going to like it. But
well, I don't know. What is it?
All right. Well, I never heard this song in the 60s, and all of a sudden I was listening to Air Checks on YouTube, and I heard this song, which is kind of poppy, but I liked it. It's by Gary Chris.
Oh, yeah, which one?
It's called Our Favorite Melodies.
Yeah.
Our Favorite Melody.
Okay.
I love that. I don't know if it's kind of weird. Or...
Well, actually,
I think it's kind of nice.
There's a Gary Chris record I actually like, The Lady is Latin. So
I don't know that one, but...
Yeah, it's on some 80s
Have you heard
album.
The one? You've heard the Favorite Melodies one?
Yeah, and I'll be happy to play that for you.
Oh, thank you. Very
All
good.
All right, good deal. Right. Looking forward to it. So hang on, we'll confirm that address. Don't go away.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so... Absolutely right for Andy, Chuck Leonard. And, you know, sadly, I saw in his bio saying he was the first African-American on a top 40 station. No, that's so far from the truth. But not to take away from Chuck. For a while, he was doing mornings with Carol Ford, my best friend in life, who sadly is no longer alive. And, man, I could tell you stories. But the Wake Up Club, they put out T-shirts and a long sleeve, too. I still have them. All right, so that was the good part. All right, Carol went through a number of morning men before they finally relented and put her back in afternoon. She asked weekly. All right, so 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. And we got Billy Bobby wants 5x5, Chuck from Rockford. All right, Chuck wants advertising, Donna Beloit wants World War II planes. And we got our first bumper stumper coming up. And it's a mystery on WGN Radio.
Baby with the big box, tell me where you next stop. I've got the blues for you. If you don't mind, baby, please be kind. I love the way you do. Baby with the big box, tell me where you next stop. I've
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, this has a lot of history behind it. For one thing, they were originally going to release it on the title of the song, which was Baby with a Big Box. And needless to say, they thought better of it. And in fact, decided on I Got the Blues for You. All right. And it's interesting because it got some regional play to the point that Eddie Bo revamped it and put it out as I'm Wise a couple years later in 1956. And that's nice. It also, in some ways, formed the basis for Little Richard for Slippin' and Slidin', as far as that goes. But what's most interesting to me about this song is what happened a decade later. And that is Clarence Frogman Henry. Well, I think it by that time he knew he shouldn't be putting out Lady with the Big Box. So he came up with Lady with the Hat Box, except that the writers credit on this Chess record went to Clarence Frogman Henry. Sounds the same to me.
Lady with the hat box, tell me where your next stop. I got my eyes on you. Lady with the hat box, tell me where your next stop. I wanna follow you.
Yeah, well, it absolutely probably surprised the heck out of the original artist, and that's what we're looking for. And as I say, historical in a lot of ways, also because he was the first act on a new label in 1954. And so there you have it, a lot of information. And maybe you can tell me who he is. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Billy Bob in Bourbonnais, welcome back to WGN Radio.
He's a long-time caller.
How about that?
I'd like to get two requests in and take a guess at the bumper stomper.
Oh, very good. Okay.
I think it sounds like Leo Dorsey.
No. Well, actually, no. Not even close. Like Lee Dorsey? I like it.
Yeah, right. Lee Dorsey.
Yeah. Not a chance. Not a chance.
And then I'd like to request two by Louis Premia. Buenos Aires, Senorita, Buenos Aires.
Okay.
And you got to jump, jive, and then you wail.
Okay, jump, jive, and wail. Okay. Okay, you got it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so there we... we have to do a 5x5. Don't go away. All right, so you want to do 5x5, don't you? I can't have
Well, I probably won't get it, but I want to attempt it.
Well, you never know. You Talking to Me is from what movie?
Oh, it's... Robert De Niro. Taxi?
Yes, Taxi Driver. Good enough. Okay. What was the denomination of the Elvis stamp? Because, you know, the post office did award one posthumously, of course, as they always do, humorously. But what was the denomination? How much was the Elvis stamp worth?
Oh, crap.
Yeah!
I'll say it was a forever stamp.
No, they didn't have forever stamps then, so go again.
Yeah, I don't know. 13 cents?
29.
Okay. I was way off.
Okay, regarding your body, what's the largest organ?
Your brain?
Skin.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense about nitrogen. Okay.
Okay, talk to you next week. I'll look forward to it. Thanks. All right, so indeed. And that's one that trips a lot of people up. They don't normally think about skin as an organ, but of course it is. So there. Now, let's see. We've got Cindy in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up, Cindy?
Well, I really don't. I thought he was going to guess about Japan. He forgot. I'm just so curious, but I have no clue. I don't know anything about Japan.
What's Japan? Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, our question. All right. Well, you'll find out at the end of the show.
Okay. And then I wanted I told John Miss Fisher Murder Mysteries, and I have a request.
Wait a minute. That's a topic. Miss Fisher Murder Mysteries. All right. I say
it's
you can pick
show.
Any. It's a show. All right. TV show.
PBS.
Oh, PBS. Okay. Well, we'll find out something here, no doubt, as far as trivia. All right. So you
have.
Then
I have a request. One of my crazy requests.
Okay.
Okay. These are the words. I'm doing the best I can, morning, noon, and night. I'm building a little nest for Mary, and it's from like the 1920s.
Hmm. 1920s, huh?
1920s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably because there's a song with the title of Building a Nest for Mary. That was Jesse Greer. It was a band leader. And a lot of people did it later, like the Captivators and stuff like that. But that'd be like 1929. But I think the original one was Jesse Greer. But so, yeah, I'm aware of the record. This is what you want to hear, huh?
Yeah, I like that kind of. I don't know why I'm fascinated with that.
Me neither. All right, so we'll just write it down. Yeah, I guarantee
you. I really like that music.
All right, Building a Nest for Mary. All right, and like I say, several people did it, so we'll pick one of them. Okay.
Okay, and then Miss Fisher.
Yes, Miss Fisher. Back to Miss Fisher, huh? All right, so let's see what we have here. I actually had come up with something, and then you asked about building a nest for Mary, and I shut the thing. All right, well, let me do this again. So is this show currently on the air, by the way?
It's reruns.
Well, of course it's reruns. That I know, but I mean, somebody's rerunning it right now?
Yeah, on PBS, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we'll start.
WTCW in Chicago.
All right. All right. Well, we've got trivia as far as that goes. Let's see. There were I'm looking at a number of things. All right. You probably heard of this edible in the series, and it turns out it was invented in Melbourne. What is it? It's a savory spread, and it was invented in Melbourne.
Well, I know there was an episode where, what is her name? Aunt Prudence's son gets married, and Mr. Butler eats the brownie hashish. Is it brownie hashish?
It's Vegemite.
Okay, I don't know. All right.
There you have it. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, so, yes, I guess Vegemite was on the show more than once. Isn't that lovely? Well, I'll try to find out better Miss Fisher trivia next week, but I must admit no one's ever asked for that before. All right, so Chuck in Rockford wants advertising. All right, Chuck, you ready for a slogan?
Yeah.
Okay. Only your hairdresser knows for sure.
Oh, God. It sounds like L'Oreal or something.
No, you got to think of products back in the day. You didn't know about L'Oreal back then, probably. Think about the common products.
Oh.
You know, remember, this is an old slogan.
What was the date then?
Well, I'd say they certainly the early 60s.
Yeah, I got this. Well...
You can
and
do this.
Real cream, you wouldn't need
no,
a hairdresser.
No, well, right, right. It's obviously for women. Yeah. Obviously a product for women. Only your hairdresser knows for sure.
God, I think you may have me on that.
Oh, no. This is so common. Well, if you think about hair products for women from the early 60s, what brand comes to mind?
Mm.
You can do this.
God.
You're gonna beat yourself up when I tell you.
Moment.
you absolutely no. And here the other thing on the TV commercials, it started with "Does she or doesn't she?" and it was about hair dye.
Oh yeah, got
it. Yeah, see, you remember it, and they started this commercial in the mid 50s, and it was still running in 1970 in one form or another. All right, I'm going to let you think about it during the news, because you should be able to get this. Don't go away. And we'll pick it up right there after the news. We've got Francis with some guesses, and Barry wants his Beatles, and Don wants his World War II planes, and Rich is going to take some guesses on my question, and Fran wants 1968 charts. All that and more coming up after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I've just been down on the corner. Got expelled today. There'll be no more yelling sevens down in the boys' gym, 'cause they say Fessa Green tipped up and caught him. and send him home. No more pulling on the girl's hair. No more sticking to and gum everywhere. They say when Pastor Green expelled Charlie Brown, he said,
I don't want to go to school no harm.
They said, oh, cool Charlie home. He's got to make it somehow. But he can't call his English teacher. Can't call him daddy-o now.
Obviously an answer record of sorts, 1959, and here's the deal. It's a well-known artist from the 60s, actually. You wouldn't have known him in the 50s, I don't think. But in 1959, he did that, along with his former classmates, and Charlie Brown got expelled. Who is he? 888-876-5593. Anybody want to take a gander on the theme? I didn't think so. All right, so now we're back to Chuck. And yes, does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. Have you thought about it?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Is it oh, gosh. You know, there's some... Was it... They have to be one of the corporations that make that sort of stuff.
Well, of course. So obviously, they've done a national commercial that was out there for a decade.
I think that must just be out of my venue to remember that.
It's a company that was founded in 1931. And founded for just this purpose, at-home hair coloring. And that's why, does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. It was a couple, Lawrence and Joan Gelb, who founded the company. And
really?
Yeah, he was a chemical broker. And what it was, he found a European hair color, and he brought it to the U.S. And so in 1956, they introduced it as Ms. Blank. The at-home fast application revolutionizing the industry. So Miss what?
Yeah, you know, I bet that just...
You're really going to hate yourself. There's people screaming at their radio as we speak. It was Miss Clairol.
But you know what? I don't know. That's buried too deep in my mind.
But Clairol. I mean that was the deal.
Yeah, no, I recall it now. Yeah,
right. And I don't think
I could have came up with it.
The woman who came up with the slogan in the 50s, and it was a woman, was Shirley Polakoff. And she's the one who came up with "Does she or doesn't she?" Hair color so natural, only her hairdresser knows for sure. And
I've got a question.
Yeah,
you know, I was before TV, and I'm wondering if I have more theater of the mind than people that were born.
Well, of course, and certainly more than people who are stuck on digital on everything today. But of course, like you, I didn't have television either. So it existed, I believe, after a while. But I just didn't watch it.
Oh, have you ever heard of remote viewing?
Well, of course I've heard of remote viewing. Anybody who's listened to Art Bell has heard of remote viewing, and say that Ed Dames passed away recently.
There was some accuracy in that, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, it was a government program. There are mixed reviews on how it came out, but it was absolutely for real, and some people say it came out better than the government wants you to know. We're going back to people like Hal Puthoff and, who's the other guy, trying to think of his name. Who the heck was it? Ingo Swann. Yeah, Ingo Swann, of course. But originally it was Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ. And this goes way back as far as that goes. And what had happened, as you probably know, there were all sorts of rumors that the Soviet Union was using psychic abilities in the 60s. In fact, there's even books written about that. And so bottom line is that the U.S. government had to catch up. So in the early early 70s at Stanford University, SRI, Stanford Research Institute. They came across Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, and they initiated studies of the paranormal. And originally, it was privately funded, but then it wound up being government funded. And so there was the Stargate Project, and as far as what that was is always so unclear and non-detailed that it's hard to say. But there's many others. Absolutely, the government did a lot with that.
Yeah, I even hear, you know, some people that were on radio, you know, when they'd meet somebody, they'd say, "Well, you don't look like."
Who does? As far as that goes, that's the beauty of radio. We can look whatever you want us to look like, and so that's why I always advise, if you have a favorite radio personality, don't see them.
Last time I saw you, I think, was 30 years ago.
Yes, it was actually 32 or 3 years ago now. Yes, indeed. And it hasn't gotten better. So, absolutely. Not for any of us. So that's the deal. But, Art Bell used to have a lot of these guys like Ed Dames and many others as well on the air with him. And there's a lot of information about it. And they still have people who are teaching it and stuff like that. But in the 90s, the government tried to distance themselves, and they tried to say, "Oh no, nothing to it," but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I think here I might have had a remote viewing, but I couldn't prove it. But they were, you know, talking to somebody on the radio, and they were talking about being nude or something or other, and. I got a very vivid picture.
Well, there you go. I don't think they were doing that in any at Fort Meade. About half a million dollars a year budget for this.
It was pretty realistic.
Oh, sure. Well,
like I was peeping in on them, you know.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of radio. They can look however you want them to look. Of course. All right.
But. I'm blushing now.
Oh, no, well, don't do that, and I'm going to get back to trivia. We'll talk to you later, Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Care.
All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Yeah, Art was a big fan of having those guys. And there are a lot of them, because several people went through that program in Fort Meade and have tons of stories. But Francis is in DeKalb. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Francis, what do you think?
About the Japan question?
Yes, absolutely. Our straggler for at least 20 years of the last decade. What do you think?
They refuse to visit the Yasukuni Shrine.
I love that. That's not it, though. But that's a nice answer.
Wow.
Thanks for trying.
Wow. Yeah, because I know they don't do that either.
Yeah.
To keep peace family with the countries.
Well, you know, if I'm asking the question, you know, the answer's got to be really out there. So it is.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, at least 20 years of the last decade, Japanese prime ministers refused to do this. They just would not do this. All right. Well, why would that be? I guess we'll be finding out coming up on WGN Radio.
Yeah.
WGN Radio. All right, so who's that? It's a duo at 1959. And yeah, so you've had three of them so far. What's the theme? Okay, and the three I played so far are from the 50s. So I think the next four next hour we should have from the 60s. And same theme, just we'll make it a little more recent. Not by much. All right, so that's the deal on the theme. And of course, our question will be revealed at the end of the next hour, and because it's a straggler. For at least 20 years of the last decade, Japanese prime ministers refused to do this. Refused to do what? And when that doesn't work out for you, you can have your own category, and we prove that continually. That's right. And we're right now going to talk to Barry in New Hampshire because we have Beatles coming up. All right, Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, that wasn't the Coasters, was it?
No, there were no, nobody was coasting.
Okay.
All right, so here is your question. In Tomorrow Never Knows, John originally wanted to do this to get a natural echo. What did he want to do?
Huh.
Now, by the way, I've never heard of Tomorrow Never Knows, but you're a big Beatles fan, so I assume you have.
Yeah. But I know they use a Leslie speaker to make the sound.
Yeah.
Like he was the top of a mountain or... maybe use the bathroom at the EMI studios.
That's all good, but to give it a natural echo, John wanted to be hung by his feet and swung around the microphone. Needless to say, the other boys didn't think it was such a swell idea. So, yeah, instead the Leslie rotated instead of him.
Yeah.
So, after the mechanics of how the Leslie speakers worked, he decided that maybe he would not recreate it manually. No one else in the group was willing to recreate it manually, and so there you have it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for trying. Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay. All right. So 888-876-5593. And we got another hour of this coming up, too. But right now we've got not lyrics. We've got charts. I love charts. Fran and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, Gary dared me to do charts. So
oh, well, you do.
I make a fool of myself. It's his fault.
Well, that's okay, except I know you won't. Now, 1968, that might be tough for me, but it might be just prime for you. You might have been sitting in your room listening to the radio. So here we go.
Yeah, I was a kid. What was I in? Sixth or seventh grade, something like
oh,
that.
Oh, hell, so. Then. This should be perfect for you. You should know everything. And it is the week of April 13th, 1968, and the number one song, Honey.
Bobby Goldsboro.
Number two, Young Girl.
Gary Puckett and Union Gap.
Number three, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
I know who that is. Oh, God, I know. My brain is doing that thing again.
Oh, no. Yes, it was on Volt.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Steve Cropper produced it.
Oh, God. I know this song like the back of my hand. Why am I not thinking
and
of
it? It was a hit posthumously.
Yes.
Oh, you'll hate
I hate
yourself.
It when I know this. I know I know it.
I know you know it, too. I know you know it, too. But, all right, it happens. That would be Otis Redding.
Otis Redding. Yep, I knew that. No. I did know that. It's not one of those things where I'm
right.
saying I knew that.
No, I know. I know you know it. Number four, we'll stay in Memphis for number four. Cry Like a Baby.
Box Tops.
Yes. Number five, Sweet Sweet Baby, Since You've Been Gone.
Aretha.
Yeah, absolutely. Number six, Lady Madonna.
Beatles.
Number seven, The Ballad of Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, who was that?
He had other hits. One of them was Yeah Yeah. I think it was anyway.
Georgie Fame?
Yes, absolutely right. No, that's it. Number eight, Lala Means I Love You.
Delphonics.
Absolutely. Number nine, Valerie.
The Monkees.
Yes, and number 10, The Mighty Quinn.
Oh, God. Oh, who did the Mighty Quinn? I hate that song.
It was a group. It was a group that sounded like an individual, as far as names.
Manfred Mann.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Very good. So, yeah, Gary was right. See, you did it. Hang on. Don't go away. You are a winner. All right.
So, all right.
And thanks. I would expect no less. All right. So next hour, we've got Cheryl. We've got Robert. We've got Shane. He's driving. All right. Taking me for a ride again. Don in Beloit, those World War II planes. And Rich in Madison. He's got some guesses. So all that and more will happen right after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who is that? Obviously, it's a remake. You know that it's not the original, although it was released damn near about the same time. Yeah, right, one on top of the other in 1960. So who is that? And, yeah, there's a Houston connection to him, but I don't know that that has anything to do with our theme as far as that goes. But, he firmly belongs in our theme. That's for sure. All right, so who is it? 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we got Don in Beloit. All right, Don, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How are you?
Good. Real good. We're good. Lots of hockey. Lots of bike race.
Well, this is good.
These prime ministers do not like wearing a kimono. They're not doing the traditional kimono.
That is not it. What else you got?
They're not going to the sumo ring, the sumo wrestlers.
That's not it either. What else you got?
Okay. I don't got much. I really appreciate you playing my songs last week. You played so many great songs last week.
Well, good. Glad you liked it.
Especially, I was really touched that John likes Average White Band. I thought that, wow, that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, that is one of John's favorites.
Yeah, and that Joe Beam, of course, is Lamento. Sounds
yeah.
great.
Oh, yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
And you played all those different versions of Apartment Number 9.
Oh, of course, had to.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
it wasn't. A lot of people think, oh, Tammy Wynette, probably Billy Sherrill and Glenn Sutton wrote it. Nope, they didn't. They weren't even the first to, Billy wasn't even the first to have it released. So, yeah, Tammy was not the first artist. Yeah. So that was the deal.
You know, you and I like a lot of that Brazilian bossa nova and so on. And, I didn't even realize that Sergio Mendes did a 77 version.
Oh,
Sergio Mendes in Brazil 77.
No, there's 88 too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, because I guess I focused on listening to the older ones.
Yeah, no, Brazil 88. Well, I like his stuff before it was Brazil anything, when it was Sergio Mendes
Trio, right,
and all that. You know, his early stuff I thought was just divine. But as far as Brazil 66, that one album, Equinox, is beautiful. The rest of them, all right.
There's some great, that documentary stuff, or him singing, or it's a sort of an early version of what we'd call a video, I guess, when he's on the beach and so on. I don't know. I vaguely remember watching something like that. It was really cool. Well, would you mind playing anything? Stan Getz, Astrud, Gilberto, like maybe Corcovado? Corcovado?
You don't want the original, huh? Okay.
I don't know, or whatever you want, whatever.
Yeah, in fact, Jobim named his publishing company Corcovado because, of course, you know, it's Sugarloaf Mountain. All right, so I can play it, but if you want the Stan Getz and Astrud Gilberto version, you got it.
Linda Martell did a song that was really cool, 1970, called Color Him Father. It was written by this really famous Richard Lewis Spencer.
Yeah, well, Color Him Father was a huge hit for the Winstons.
The Impressions with the Winstons?
No, the Winstons, not the Impression, the Winstons.
Okay.
Color Him Father was absolutely the Winstons, and this was a big record for at the time. It's the only record by the Winstons you can probably name, but that's who had the hit.
The Richard was in the Winstons.
Okay,
well,
you're
he's like, I think he was a saxophone, but he wrote like a song, but he wrote the original. That's fine, awesome. And then I have one more for you.
All right.
Oh my God, Riley, you take me into so many directions.
And your phone, by the way, takes you completely, digitizes you out of my life, you know. Well, that was clear. I heard that.
Lee Dorsey. 61 with Alan Toussaint.
Okay.
Yeah, you were saying, this is Yaya. Yaya from 1961.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, I'm sitting here, Yaya, waiting for me. I know every word of it. Yep. All right.
That's so much fun. The Beatles supposedly performed it regularly, but
probably
in Hamburg all the time. But no one ever recorded it. But John Lennon loved playing it, apparently.
It was his biggest hit, but my favorite Lee Dorsey will always be Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti. Forget about the Do and think about me.
If you could be a fly on the wall from some of their early performances, that would be something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got any kind of World War II trivia?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, I picked one out for you. And it's easy. You know, you get all these. This particular plane had a siren attached to the spat. As the plane dove a propeller, drove the siren, giving it a characteristic scream, which was considered to have a big psychological effect on the enemy. What was the plane?
Oh, Riley, gosh. You know, this is...
It's easy.
Early Blitzkrieg 101. This is Junkers JU-87, the Stuka, the famous Stuka.
Absolutely right. Yep. I told you, you know.
All right.
I've run out of questions for you is what's happened here. Because most of the trivia I find, unfortunately, has a picture and it says identify this plane. I'm like, that ain't going to work on the radio. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you've told me that. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah, so I'll continue to try, but there are not as many word questions.
Okay. Well, it's great talking to you as usual, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
And I'm counting on it. Thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593. And so, John, add something to Don's stash. He obviously has the address. That I know for sure. All right, so let's see. We're going to talk to Shane. He's driving tonight, taking me along for the ride. You know I love to ride. So where are we going, Shane?
We are going down to Indianapolis. Oh, actually, it's not Indy. Our company calls it Indy. It's actually Greenwood, Indiana.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yes, Indianapolis. Sure, absolutely.
That's
all right.
Correct.
So we're taking I-65. Know it well.
Correct. I'm on 94 right now, but I'm working my way down there.
Oh, yeah, you'll get there. Absolutely. You can't avoid it. All right.
Nope.
So it's an easy question for a MASH fan like you. I want the name of the recurring, who's often unseen, actually, officer serving as a nemesis to the surgeons. Was it Colonel Flagg, Captain Halloran, Dangerous Dan, or General Hammond?
As a nemesis, I'm going to say it was Colonel Flagg.
It was Dangerous Dan. That's why they called him that.
Dangerous Dan. Yeah. I can't remember that one.
Yeah. Oh, you don't, huh? All right. Let's see. Let's find out about him then. I'll figure out who played him. Dangerous Dan in MASH. Who played it? Let's see. Dangerous Dan. Dangerous Dan McGrew. Dangerous Dan, legendary, frequently mentioned chopper pilot in MASH, known for his recklessness, but he was largely unseen. And his name is a nod to real-life helicopter pilot Daniel Sullivan, honored in season 4.
Okay, if you can hear me, I can't hear you, Raleigh, but thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, bye. Now, that's interesting. You couldn't hear me. And we worked on that this weekend. So I don't know. If you're calling and you still can't hear me, I need to know that because near as I can tell, and we did all the tests we could in here, we fixed that. Now, maybe I just wasn't speaking close enough into the microphone. That's always possible. But in any event, I'm trying to see who played Dangerous Dan. Buck Young. All right. I don't know who Buck Young was, but how about that? And yeah. All right. So we have Alan Alda's least favorite episode. Maybe we'll talk about that next time. Hard to say. All right. So we appreciate the call. And hopefully you can hear me, especially even when you're on hold. So Victor in Silver Spring, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you. I got restless leg real bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
From twitching and listening to you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's a bitch.
It really is.
Yeah.
Okay. My trivia, let's try 1963.
All right, this week in 1963, we can do that. And that would be the week of April the 13th. Well, that would be as close as today. All right, number one, He's So Fine.
So Fine.
Yes. Number two, Can't Get Used to Losing You.
Andy Williams.
Right. Number three, South Street.
The Orlons.
Number four, The End of the World.
Skeeter Davis.
Number five, Baby Workout.
Baby Workout. I don't know that one.
Oh, you should. On Brunswick, huge act. Used to be with Billy Ward and the Dominoes. He was Berry Gordy's all-time favorite male singer. He did a lot of things that were fast, but a lot of things that were ballads as well. He's just huge. He had a heart attack.
Boy, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Well, that would be Jackie Wilson.
Oh!
Yeah. Number six, Our Day Will Come.
Ruby the Romantics.
Right. Number seven, I Will Follow Him.
Peggy Marsh.
Yes. Number six, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Pierre Paul and Mary.
Okay, number eight, actually. Number nine, Young Lovers.
Young Lovers.
Okay, it's a duo. They had a real big hit, and then the follow-up was Young Lovers. It's a guy and a girl. They were from Texas.
Are you thinking of Paul and Paula?
Absolutely right. Yes. Good luck, Young Lovers. Yes. And number 10, Do the Bird.
Oh, Dee Sharp.
All right. Well, good enough. 90%. That's a win to me. Hang on. We'll confirm that address. Thanks, Victor. All right. So we will pick it up right there, right after this, right here on WGN Radio.
Darling, honey, angel child, come and give me, baby, a great big smile. You know I love you deep down in my soul. So come on, honey, let the good time roll. What love could be, and that it could mean so much to me. Ever since I seen you, I love you so. So come on, honey, let the good time roll. Oh, look what you get when you got some money. Mm-hmm.
sell your junk, baby, sell your junk.
WGN Radio. Who's that? 888-876-5593. Has a theme become apparent? Well, it should. If not, we'll find out. But, oh, Stan in Dearborn knows a bumper. I'm not the least bit surprised. So, okay, Stan, welcome back to WGN Radio. What'd you hear you know?
Hi, Raleigh. I have a couple of those Ace records you played earlier from the 50s.
Okay.
Charlie Brown Got Expelled is by Joe Arrington. We all know him better as Joe Tex.
Absolutely right. Joe Tex and his ex-classmates. You betcha.
Yeah.
1959 on Ace. Yep. What else you have?
The Joe and Ann song.
Ah, Wherever You May Be. Yes. Another
side, Flip Side of G-Baby.
Right. Right. Exactly
Wherever
right.
Wherever You May Be, yeah.
Yep. 1959 on Ace. You betcha.
Another Ace record.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's Ace Labels.
Close enough. You said labels, but yeah, it's John Vincent. And that
John Vincent, okay.
Yeah, and certainly that would be Ace, or it'd be Rex, or it'd be JC, or it'd Vin, you know, I mean, it could be any of those. But yeah, absolutely, that's what it is. And I know most of that stuff came out on CD, so I wouldn't be surprised that you had it all.
Well, I got a couple 45s of them as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I figured you would have known New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of New Orleans, so.
Yeah. So, but I mean, well, I played New Orleans, the cover, and yeah, nobody's going to get it. So that was Big Boy Miles.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know the remake of that either.
And, you know, like I said, it came out almost at the same time. And I hate to say it, but Frank Guido's version was better. But still, it was nice to hear. Well, great. As always, wonderful to hear from you. Hang on a minute. Don't go away.
Okay, thanks. Have a good show.
All right, appreciate it. We'll confirm that address. All right, so yes, indeed. Stan knows his stuff. I would not expect it to be any different. So there's two more, and they'll all be on Johnny Vincent's label. And if you don't know, Johnny Vincent worked for Art Rupe at Specialty, and they had a falling out in 1954. And in fact, the first record I played was the first record that was ever released on Ace. And nobody's going to get that either. So it was Al Collins and his orchestra who, again, did Lady with the Big Box. And they thought, well, we can't put that on the label. And so they came up with I Got the Blues for You. But, of course, later when Clarence Frogman Henry claimed that he wrote it, over a decade later, called it Lady with the Hat Box. Yeah, I don't know who decided. Well, three letters at work, but yeah. So that's the deal. We got a couple more coming up as far as that goes right here. I'm not 100% sure what I just played. So, oh, God. So I'll pick two more and hopefully won't be playing them again. And then after the news, we'll wrap it up in that half hour. So if you want to guess, and I'm looking to see, okay, Cheryl and Elgin will be first because she's got a guest on that. And Rich and Madison, he's got guesses as well. So they'll be our first two after the news because that question goes away at the end of the show. And so that is the deal. And in case you're wondering what that question was, all right, here we go. For at least 20 years in the last decade, Japanese prime ministers refused to do this. Refused to do what? And we'll do a 5x5 with Stacy and Gunsmoke trivia with Dave on the north side. And 5x5 with Gary and Austin. Oh, he'll ace that. Robert from LaGrange has some requests. And, of course, we'll kick it off with our guesses on the prime minister question. So that's a Monday night trivia. I'll also take a look to see if we have any other abbreviated shows this week, and I don't think we do, but don't hold me to that. I should have done that before the show, of course, but let's see if I can do that before the news. Probably not. I'll tell you right after the news right here on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So I normally wouldn't spring an instrument on you, but since Dan and I told you that it's everything that John Vincent did on Ace Records, I thought, well, that's fair. And this was on Ace, and it was in 1960. And actually, it was the guy who ran Ace's A&R department at the time who made that record. And the group was an alias for Cosmo Matassa's studio crew, who were all on it. And it was Alan Toussaint on piano. They actually put out an album, and they were just messing around in the studio. There wasn't any real forethought on it, and originally this was just called Cut 6, and it got a name later, and you can tell me what it is. And Song 6, but it was just listed as a number. And then when it came out, of course, it had a name. Not that it mattered, but it was truly lovely, I thought, as far as instrumentals go. So. Who is he? And that should be a gimme if I tell you he ran Ace's A&R department. But then so did a lot of other people, including Dr. John. And our last single will have a Dr. John involvement, but that won't tell you who it is. All right, so 888-876-5593. We have a straggler that's going away about 20 minutes from now, and that is... For at least 20 years of the last decade, Japanese prime ministers refused to do this. If you can tell me why, that's extra credit, but you don't have to. Cheryl and Elgin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. How are you, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
Good. I'm doing good.
All right.
Sorry, I got the sniffles. I have a guess, which is probably not out there enough, but I'll give it a whirl, and then I had a really quick question for you.
Okay.
So my guess is that they refused to stop smoking.
Ah, that's not it, but it's a nice guess.
Okay. And then my question is, a song like The Girl from Ipanema, what genre or style is that? Is that bossa nova?
It is bossa nova, and the underlying theme, bossa nova is an outgrowth of samba, but it is absolutely bossa nova, yes.
All right, good. Then I know what to look for, because I like that style a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically anything Antonio Carlos Jobim wrote will fill the bill.
What was his name?
Antonio Carlos Jobim, J-O-B-I-M.
Oh, okay. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, anything you see that's written in part, at least by Jobim, is going to be bossa nova. Vinicius usually is too, like Tocchino and Vinicius, that would be as well. I'm trying to think of other things to look for, but obviously Joao Gilberto, most of his stuff would be considered to be bossa nova.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, I'm glad you called.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, yes, and of course... Astrid was his ex-wife. I think her name was like Astrid Weinstein or something like that. I don't remember, but Weingarten, something. And then she married Joao Gilberto and became Astrid Gilberto for a while, and then they split. All right, so Robert in LaGrange has some requests. What's up, Robert?
Let me just say right off the bat that your show is such a delight, especially for an aging baby boomer like myself.
Ah, well, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have three requests. One is Dreamin' by Johnny Burnett.
Oh, of course. What a wonderful wonderful record. Okay. Okay.
And Come Softly, Darling by
Fleetwoods. Yep. Come Softly.
Yeah. And for the third one, you'll have to help me with the artist on this. I don't know why I can't think of his name. Mind Over Matter. Was the name?
Oh,
the
sure. On Fortune Records, absolutely. Nolan Strong and the Diablos.
Oh, Nolan Strong, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a wonderful wonderful song. You betcha.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's about it then for tonight so far.
Oh well, yeah. all good as far as that goes. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. All right, so now we have to write down that it's Robert in LaGrange who wants this stuff. Otherwise, I'll have it, of course, written down, and I won't know who requested it. So Robert in LaGrange. Mind Over Matter, by the way, is also the title of the book about Fortune Records, which is set you back a pretty penny. It's not a cheap book, but it's a great book. And so if you're into that, by all means, you know, Detroit labels and stuff like that. Yeah. Is it better than Fortune? I can't imagine. Stacy in Algonquin. Stacy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
Oh, good, good.
So we're going to do 5x5?
Yes.
Who sang about cheeseburgers in paradise?
Cheeseburgers in paradise.
This was big.
That I don't know.
Okay, Jimmy Buffett. All right.
Oh, okay.
Regarding the TV show ALF, you'll remember ALF, the little alien. What does ALF stand for?
Oh, ALF. Was that ELF or ALF?
ALF. What does ALF stand for? ALF. And we'll give you the first one, since we know that ALF was an alien. So there goes your A.
Alien.
Yeah, you got just got
alien from.
No, the F is at the end. ALF.
ALF. Alien. Oh, man. That I forgot.
Alien life form.
Oh, alien life, okay.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
I don't watch it that much.
I don't watch it at all. So, all right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so, and these questions are Lisa and Laura come up with these questions, and I am indebted to them, just like I am indebted to Bob, who is keeping us on the air tonight in Master Control, because without their help, this show would be a lot harder to do. Speaking of this show, I looked it up. Tomorrow's a full show. Wednesday night, we lose an hour due to the Blackhawks, so we'll start at 11 on Wednesday. And then Thursday is a full show. So that is it. Now, Rich in Madison has guesses on our trivia question, and I want to hear this. So let's see if the magic twanger, which is in lunar rotation right now. All right, Rich, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh.
What do you think?
I think that the Japanese prime minister refused to sit next to the president of the United States.
Oh, I like that. It's not right.
Oh, not even close?
No, no, no. Not even in the ballpark.
Okay.
If you think of something else, you call me back.
Yeah, real quick.
I hope so. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, oh, I see on the screen it says Star Trek. So I will leave it to John to come up with Mark's question as I default to Gary in Austin. More 5x5. All right, Gary, taking the easy way out tonight.
Well, hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just thought I'd see what I can do. I'm either gonna.
All right.
Or not, so.
Well, here's the next five in order, and I'll tell you. Offhand, I could probably answer four of them, but one of them, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. All right. What was the brand of pantyhose that came in a plastic egg?
Legs.
Absolutely right. What does Ray Barone do for a living?
Ooh, that I don't know.
Me neither. That's the one I wouldn't get either, but that's all right. He's a sports writer. What do you call a container for arrows?
Quiver.
Yes, absolutely right. What does MSG stand for?
Monosodium glutamate.
Yeah, monosodium glutamate. Close enough. You're a winner. All right. So I think you did it. Yeah. Or do I need? I guess you get one more.
I think.
All right.
Yeah, one more.
You'll get this too. Where does Yogi Bear live?
Oh, Jellystone Park.
Absolutely right. Hang on. Don't go away. All right, so we have ourselves a winner. That's right. That's all there is to it. And, yeah, Lisa and Laura, and I just hung up, I think. No, I don't know. I did not hang up on Gary. Okay, he's there. We're going to do, I know, MBTI trivia, Myers-Briggs with Naoto, who knows all. But Lisa in Dundee, all right, thank you. And you've got guesses on my trivia question.
Yeah, I have two quick ones. They refuse to bow.
Nope. What else you got?
and they refuse to take their shoes off.
Nope, it's not that either. I like both of those. All right, yeah. All right. This is another one where you're going to hit me when you hear the answer, but thank God you won't reach
me. I love them, though.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so yes. So if you want to get in on the action on this question, you must do this in the next 10 minutes or less. For at least 20 years of the last decade, Japanese prime ministers refused to do this. Refused to do what? And again, if I'm asking the questions, you know the answer is out there. And John will come up with the perfect Star Trek trivia question for Mark. And I'll come up with Gunsmoke trivia for Dave on the north side and MBTI for Naoto. And whatever you want, if you call 888-876-5593. Your final bumper stumper is coming up in moments right here. Yes, and Mac Rebenek, Dr. John, was involved with it too on WGN Radio.
And be on. Too young, I'm not pretty, but something keeps dragging me on. Could I be wrong, or could it be love? You're just an angel from up above, but whatever it is, something keeps dragging me on. I can't overcome it, whatever keeps dragging me on. I'm in love and you've done it, and it just keeps dragging me on. Oh, yes it does, it's in my mind, you're not my kind. But deep down inside, you know I realize just what it is, that something keeps dragging me on.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. So who is that? Mac Rebenek signed him to the label. And Mac had taken over as A&R from Red Tyler. We played some Red Tyler earlier. We'll talk about that. And the person who actually found him, I think, was Joe Corona, who was Frankie Ford's manager. And he heard him. And they wound up on Ace doing a number of things. In fact, they were Morgus and the Magnificents and all this other stuff. But in the meantime, this came out on JC, which is a rare little label. Affiliated, of course, with Ace. And so what's the deal? Who are they? 1962. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. All right, Star Trek, Mark, I'm ready for you. You ready for me?
Well, now that John is back, I'll probably get it wrong.
I don't know. He wants to know what the title of the first story in the first Star Trek comic book, Star Trek Number One, Gold Key, July 1967, was.
Oh, and, I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what the theme is. The theme was a prehistoric world inhabited by giant telepathic plants.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
The Planet of No Return.
Okay.
And see, I'm convinced that this cell wall concept is a bit tenuous, and that plants one day are going to get us. Yeah, they're plotting. So this is one that I won't be reading. But there you have it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Matt in Harwood Heights wants to take some guesses. All right, Matt, what do you think?
The question about Japan.
Yes.
I'm going to say smoking.
Nope, not smoking. What else you got?
Okay, wait. I got one more. No breakdancing.
No breakdancing. Yes. No, this is the 20th century, not the 21st. And no, there was no breakdancing involved.
Oh.
But thanks for trying. Goodbye. I appreciate it. All right. So there you have that. Now, looking for the perfect, of course, Myers-Briggs question, because that's Naoto just aces them. And yeah, the personality types of all of them. And we've been going through a few of these, and let's see who we are. All right. So Naoto in Japan, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, considering how terrible I was feeling 2 weeks ago.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, right. If that's the comparison, you're doing wonderfully, because, yeah, 2 weeks ago was terrible. Yeah. Last week was pretty good, so yeah. Even better this week, huh?
Yes, my voice is completely normal right now. So
absolutely, you know, it is. You sound good to me.
You know, speak a high pitch voice.
All right, so I'm going to tell you about someone who is all of us are Myers-Briggs types, but this is a well-known person. We're talking about Star-Lord Peter Quill from Guardians of the Galaxy, and he brings energy and enthusiasm to every mission. He's charismatic, he's charming, is able to rally his eclectic crew, including the talking raccoon and the sentient tree, back to those trees that are thinking. He also has the ability to stay cool under pressure, whether he's improvising a plan to escape from a high-security prison or engaging in an intergalactic dance-off to distract a villain. So, what type is he?
Well, I have two types in my mind, as usual.
Okay.
The first type came to my mind is ENFJ.
No.
No.
What's the second one?
Oh. ENTJ.
ESFP, the champion.
I think I have to learn more about, you know, these movie characters and, you know,
yeah, right. Right. Well, you know, I don't know who any of the movie people are, but I described their traits, so hopefully that kicks in with a type. Yes, if you have a very adventurous, free spirit, you would qualify for this, among others. So there you have it.
Makes sense.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Okay, good. All right. So I got, I got 3 minutes. And Karen in Chicago wants to take some guesses. So, all right, Karen, welcome back to WGN. What do you think?
Thank you. Either Neil or genuflect for anyone.
Nope, that's not it.
Okay, sorry. Right. Thank you.
Thanks for trying. I appreciate it. All right, I guess because we've got 2 minutes to go, it's time for me to tell you. And that would be, for at least 20 years of the last decade, Japanese prime minister refused to sleep in the official residence because they thought it was haunted. All right, so for at least 20 years, they wouldn't sleep in it. It was haunted. Might be. I don't know. All right, so that's our question. Now, as far as our bumpers, we started out with Al Collins and his orchestra. I Got the Blues for You, otherwise known as Lady with the Big Bucks. Joe Tex and his ex-classmates, Charlie Brown Got Expelled, 1959 on Ace. Joe and Ann, Wherever You May Be, 1959 on Ace. It was Big Boy Miles doing New Orleans, 1960 on Ace. Earl King, Darling Honey Angel Child, 1961 on Rex. Alvin Red Tyler and the Gyros, that was the instrumental I played, and that was Classy Lassie in 1960 on Ace. And finally, the one that Mac Rabinek had signed, Dr. John, Ronnie and the Delinquents, Keeps Dragging Me On, JC, 1962. So that's what we did. We've got 1 minute left, and I see Ralph called Lates for Charts, and I couldn't do that in a minute if my life depended on it. Now, I did have here some questions about, if I can find them in time, about Gunsmoke. And, all right. So here we go with Dave on the north side. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Dave. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I do. All right, so let's see. We're going to do this real quickly. What was the name of the character who temporarily replaced Doc Adams? Was it Dr. Charles Lathrop, Dr. John Chapman, Dr. Frederick Shambliss, or Dr. Henry McPeters?
Can you repeat them real quick?
Charles Lathrop, John Chapman, Frederick Chambliss, Henry McPeters.
I can't think. One of the two, either the first one or the second one.
Okay, well, the deal is you've just run out of time, and it would have been John Chapman. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right,
and, yeah, show is over. Yeah, you can't have one of the two. It's either or, and that's it. So we're off the air. If you're listening to the stream, I'll get you 2020 news here in a moment because I know you want to hear it, and otherwise, that's a wrap.
Danish Mistreat, plus Manhood Mayhem, and Campus Cupid Conspiracy. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Michelin scars, no moss at Noma. Ex-staffers say the boss of the once best bistro on the planet ran a culinary combat zone, barking, belittling, and browbeating his battered brigade for years. Interns slash inmates allegedly toiled night and day for no pay, plating pricey perfection while pocketing precisely nothing. The food fight finally fizzled when the mad chef mothballed the Copenhagen kitchen, apparently allergic to paying the traumatized trainees. Abolishing the bishop. Downtown LA turned into a sidewalk shocker when a man allegedly mutilated his own manhood in a grisly, gut-churning public meltdown that left witnesses wincing and sirens wailing. Police say the self-inflicted frenzy proved fatal after paramedics rushed the gravely wounded victim to a hospital where he later died. The moral from this macabre misadventure: when madness turns to mutilation, common sense rarely gets a word in. Poster pickup plot. Poster plastered pandemonium pounding a posh Manhattan prep. Mysterious midnight messages suddenly surface, splashing scandalous accusations about a secret staffer squeeze at the swanky Spence School. Parents whisper, pupils wonder, and pickup patrols peer at provocative printouts plastered near the pricey campus. Administrators mumble, misleading mischief, but if those flyers are fiction, somebody's got a very creative copy machine. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.